Now we will follow David here in chapter 22, and we'll get a little ways in this chapter. And this is quite a remarkable chapter, by the way. We begin now that period in David's life when he is hiding himself in the caves and dens of the earth, and he's learning that the king's business does not require haste. God is schooling him and training him as he's done all of his others. And during these years, he was driven out from King Saul, who sought to kill him. He was hunted and hounded. He was driven from pillar to post. He was forced to hide in the forests and the caves of the earth to escape the wrath of the king. He was, as he says in the Psalms, he says, "I was hunted like a partridge." And again he says, "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness." He says, "I'm an owl of the desert." And he says, "My soul is among lions." And he says, "They've prepared a net for my steps." David got very weary during those years of running away from Saul. And when Saul pressed him hard, he withdrew to the cave of Adullam. And it was a rocky mountain fast in the south, a highway through the valley between Philistia and Hebron. And let me now begin reading here in chapter 22. And I'll read beginning verse 1. We'll not get very far here. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." Now this is a very marvelous section of the Word of God. There is a marvelous comparison that can be made between David and David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a period of David that compares to the present state of our Lord. You and I are living in the days of his rejection. The world has rejected him. Just as David was rejected, and Saul was hunting him, and his enemy was abroad, and our enemy is abroad today. Satan is like a roaring lion going up and down this earth. And David could say, "My soul is among lions, and ours is too today." And it's during these days that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling out of this world a people to his name. Those that are in distress, those that are in debt, and those that are discontented. Now, what kind of people are coming to him? Well, the same kind that came to David. There were three classes of men. Those that were in distress. They were the ones that were persecuted and oppressed by Saul. And David was a long time in breaking with Saul, you know. And there were many that were loyal to Saul, but they were finally forced to flee. Their life was in danger. And they fled to David and they joined up with him. Been many periods like that. There were a group of men in this country that had a tea party up in Boston years ago. Patrick Henry took his life in his own hand. And you find today about us, we're living in a world where someone has expressed that corruption and injustice of the world will make you either a communist or a Christian. And if you have felt the whiplash of injustice of the world, if you have felt its unfairness and you are oppressed, you find no place to turn, no appeal can be made to anyone, you're trying to find a way out, and even today many are turning to all kinds of nostrums, some to drugs, some to drink, some to suicide, and there's one, though, that's calling you today, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and he can help you. He wants to help you. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tested. and tempted today because he was down here. Are you in distress? You need a Savior. And he's calling out those that'll come to him today. Then there are the others that came to David during this time of his rejection. They were those that were in debt. And that's a cancer that destroys under any circumstance. And in that day, if a man got in debt, he could be sold into slavery. That was the Mosaic law. Men should have been protected, but they weren't. And this man Saul, he was just permitting them to be sold into slavery. And you see, sin today has made us debtors to God. In fact, you remember that wonderful prayer, not the Lord's prayer, but the disciples' prayer, says, forgive us our debts. He alone can forgive us. And forgiveness always rests upon the payment of a debt. And those that were in debt, they had to flee. And David actually did not pay the debt, but Christ did. He paid the debt, and he set us free. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for you and for me today. This is a very wonderful passage of Scripture. You can see, my beloved, it speaks of the one that paid the debt, and he made us free today. So that if you're in debt, if you feel like today that you can't measure up and you know that you're a debtor to God, well, he paid that debt for you, and you can come to him. You can flee to him today, and what a wonderful privilege that is. And we are told, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are debtors now to him, and we can come to him. And then those that were discontented came to David. That means they were bitter of soul. Circumstances and the experiences of life had soured them. May I say that I have noticed that in the past few years. I discovered it when I became a pastor in downtown Los Angeles. There was a restlessness that was sweeping our land. And it's still abroad today. It's become a great flood. There have been since then the masses marching in protest about this thing, that thing, and the other. All over the world they're marching. And there's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction and discontentment. And my friend, life will make you bitter today unless you see the hand of God in your life like Joseph did. But there's one to go to today. He's the rejected king. He's fairer than 10,000. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. What a wonderful picture this is, and what a wonderful story it is, my friend. There came to David at this time his mighty men, those that were in distress, those that were in debt, those that were discontented, and there came to him 400 men, and today the Lord Jesus Christ is calling out of this world a people to his name. What a picture we have here. Now we follow on in this story of David and his years of wandering about. In many sense, what a sad period this is, though, in a way, and we'll see that something happened that was very sad indeed, and it must have been to David. I'll begin reading at verse 3 of 1 Samuel 22. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab. Now, you know, this is the thing that another family that lived in Bethlehem did. They left Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech and his family, and that's where Ruth got into the Bible story. She was a Moabitess. And we find that David, though, now he goes to Moab, and that means he really was a frightened man. He got out of the land, and I do not think that he should have left the land at all. I think God would have protected him had he stayed in the land. He's like Abraham who went to Egypt, you see. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole, that is, down in the cave at Adullam. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hole, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Harith. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there's none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there's none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. I think that this man Saul, friends, is developing some paranoid tendencies. He's developed a persecution complex, and maybe he should have it, because he's discovered now his own son hasn't been loyal to him, and he's wondering why these men that were his cabinet haven't revealed it to him, and apparently they haven't. And we're told, though, that one here, and that is the fellow we saw down in the place where David had fled, and he was there when David was there. And we're told in verse 9, Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him victuals, gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Well, now King Saul's going after Ahimelech. The king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? And notice the high motives of this man Ahimelech. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Now, I believe that David later on felt very badly that he had deceived Ahimelech in making him think that he was on a mission for Saul, for that's exactly what this man is saying to Saul. Why, he's your son-in-law, and he was on a mission for you, and I was helping him. Notice now, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And he's being very honest, you see. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footman that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. You see, they hesitated, but this man Saul has gone so far in his rebellion and sin that he wouldn't stop at anything. Now the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. Now this Edomite will do it. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Now that was a serious thing that he did, and this was an awful crime, by the way, for King Saul. If God hadn't rejected him up to this point, why, certainly this would have caused him to do that. Now we're told, and Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. You see, the bitterness and the vengeance of this man Saul is terrible. And may I say to you that there is something that we need to be aware of today. You remember Paul speaks of that little root of bitterness, and it can get in the heart of many of God's people. And when it does, it's a vicious, awful thing. I've seen it in churches. I've seen maybe some man, some officer, use his office, and not to bring glory to the name of Christ, but to just vent his spleen and his bitterness and his vengeance and his hatred against someone else. It can be anyone from the pastor down to the janitor of the church or a member of the church, and how terrible it is. Well, that is exactly what has happened in this particular case here. This man Saul is definitely Satan's man, and that's the reason you can't be too sure about some today that are active in the Lord's service when you see them motivated by such a vicious bitterness of heart and soul. It's difficult to call out tares in the wheat at a time like that, but that was the case here. Now, we followed David during this time of his wanderings.